Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me, please, the title for today's sermon? Are we a country club or a life-saving station? Having read that question, having seen the children's message, you already know the answer, so the sermon is no, we will continue with the sermon. Our text is our gospel reading today from Luke 15. Listen to just verse 4. Jesus said, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" Permit me to share with you a modern parable. A parable has been defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often happen, there was once a little one-room life-saving station. They only had one rowboat, but the few devoted members who were there were over constant watch of the sea. With no thought for themselves, they went out day and night to find those who had been lost at sea. Many lives were saved, and that little life-saving station grew. It soon became a popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated it beautifully. They began to use a life-saving station as sort of a club for members only. Now, fewer members were now interested in going out into the sea for life-saving missions, so they hired a lifeboat crew to do the work for them. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the lifeboat crew brought in hundreds of cold and wet people. Some were dirty and sick. Some were from a different culture. Some spoke a different language. Hardly any of them knew the rules of the club. So the property committee of the church had a shower built outside the clubhouse so that shipwreck victims could be cleaned up before they were allowed to come in. At the next meeting, many of the members voted to stop their life-saving work because it got in the way of the social life of their club. Those who said that life-saving station, by golly, was the reason they were formed were voted down by the majority, and they were told if they wanted to continue life-saving and bringing into the club those kinds of people, they could build their own life station down the coast, and that's what they did. History continued to repeat itself. And if you visit that seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along the coast. Shipwrecks are still frequent in the waters, but now most of the people drown. I hope you can see a very clear parable between this story and the modern church. The modern church, which too often has lost its focus as a life-saving station for those who are lost. Now let's ask ourselves this question. Are we as Trinity Lutheran Church in danger of becoming a country club clubhouse and forgetting our calling as a life-saving station? In today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 15, Jesus is speaking to some good church people of his day. They were called the Pharisees. And he told them that God is in the business of seeking out and saving those who were lost. Listen to verses 1 and 2 one more time. Now the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, "This man receives sinners and even eats with them." These religious leaders wanted nothing to do with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were fellow Jews who now worked for the Roman occupation troops. They were considered traitors by their fellow men. Sinners were anybody that did not abide by the strict rules of the Pharisees for life and worship. These Pharisees could not imagine why a godly rabbi like Jesus would befriend and even sit down and eat a meal with these kinds of people. But like it or not, Jesus tells them and tells us that this is the very nature of God and what he wants of his people. Almighty God is in the business of seeking out and saving the lost. And that is what we are to be about as the church. Now, to get his point across about God's nature, Jesus tells, first of all, the Luke 15 parable of the lost sheep. Listen again to his words. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after that one which is lost? And when he finds it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing, gathers his friends and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Jesus said, "I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than in one so-called righteous person that needs no repentance." Now, owning 100 sheep was a sign of great prosperity. Was it really, just think about it, was it really good business to leave the 99 and go after the one? 99 out of 100 is not bad. Why was the one so important? In the parable, Jesus now has his first hearers, and he has you and me just where he wants us. Because he knew that the Pharisees of his day and the church people of our day love to quote Psalm 100, which says this: "We are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture." That is, we pride ourselves in saying, "I belong to the 99. But what about Isaiah 53 that says this: "All we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way." That is to say, neither the Pharisees then or us today want to say we could be the one sheep who was lost. The truth is, and this is why Jesus tells the parable, the Pharisees and we today need to see ourselves as the one lamb that's lost. It's so easy to see ourselves as the 99 and lose the whole point of the parable. If we cannot see ourselves as the one lost for whom Jesus came, then we have little sympathy for those who are hurting and lost today. The truth is, there are many ways to be lost today. Some people, maybe some who are here this morning, feel the lostness of never having received God's love and forgiveness. The lostness of having wandered from God and a true sense of what's right and wrong. The lostness of a broken relationship. The lostness of wondering, is there really any meaning and purpose in my life? But by far the parables tell us today that the worst kind of lostness is not even knowing or acknowledging that we are lost. Like the Pharisees in Luke 15, what's the evidence that we don't even see ourselves as lost? Listen to this evidence: a lack of caring about those who are spiritually lost. Let's just keep eating our picnic, forget about the one who is drowning. An insensitivity to the pains and struggles of others. What's wrong with them? Just shape up. An attitude of judgmentalism toward others. And, oh, the mess they've gotten themselves into. Does that sound like any modern Christians? It does. Does it sound like any modern churches? It does. Does it sound like Trinity Lutheran Church? It could sound like that. Does it sound like the opening parable of the life-saving station? Of course it does. Well, the good news of the Luke 15 parable is this: however you are lost, Jesus has left the 99, and he's searching for you. There we see the very heart of God, what God is all about. And as I've just pointed, now look to that crucifix, would you please? Look at the crucifix above the altar. There we see the very heart of God. There we see what God is all about. The good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep, leaving the 99, going in search of you. Now, lest this point is missed, in the first part of Luke 15, Jesus tells parable number 2, the parable of the lost coin. He begins the parable with this word in verse 8. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully till she finds it? What's the big deal over one lost coin? Goodness, she had 10. Again, 9 out of 10 ain't bad. But this coin was a drachma, worth about the daily wage of a laborer at that time. But the issue was much more than the value of the coin, because these 10 coins were a part of a very special headband this young woman wore called a semedi. A semedi was an engagement present from her fiancé, like an engagement ring. Losing one coin off the semedi would be like you losing the diamond off your engagement ring. The search for this small coin was not an easy search. Palestinian homes had on their floors dirt and straw. And the house seldom had windows big enough to let the light in because they were trying to keep the heat out. So Luke 15, verse 8 says this. Listen again. She lit a lamp. She swept the house. She searched carefully. The point of Jesus' parable is this. If a woman would go to all this trouble to find out one tiny coin that's missing, she had 9, it was just one. If she went to that much trouble searching for that small coin which symbolized her fiancé's love for her, how much more would God search for you and me, whom he loves so dearly? Now, did you notice where she lost the coin? Tell me, where'd she lose it? In the house. Oh. Why it was lost or how it was lost, we are not told. But we know the coin was lost in the house. So what? The pious Pharisees of Jesus' day referred to themselves as the house of Israel. Today, this spiritual Israel is called the church, sometimes called the house of God. The point is, are we listening now? People can get lost from God even within his house, the church. How about some inactive members you haven't seen in weeks or months or even years? Do you know why they're not here? Do you care why they're not here? Have you ever spoken with them? Or is it easier just not to get involved than to sit in judgment? I'm the 99. What's wrong with you? How about those who attend worship regularly, and we have them here every Sunday, who feel lost inside, but don't feel like they could share their pain with somebody else, and wonder, if I really shared my lostness with somebody, would they feel so uncomfortable that they'd run away from me? Here is a challenge for each person here today. Now notice, I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm not talking about the person in front of you or behind you. Here is a challenge for each of us here today. Ask God to lay upon your heart the name of one person in this congregation or in your life who is lost and hurting. Ask God to help you to see them through Jesus' eyes. Like Jesus, your good shepherd, you and I can leave the picnic. We can leave the 99 and seek out that one lost sheep and lovingly and gently bring them back into the sheepfold and invite them again to the picnic. We'll pray about this matter in the time of prayer later today. Now, how do the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin both end? They both end in exactly the same way. When the lost are found, there's a big celebration, a huge party in heaven. Listen to how Jesus describes this homecoming party. He says, and when they are found, there is a joy in heaven and a joy in the presence of God's angels. We end this sermon by asking a question. Do you remember the opening parable of the sermon about the life-saving station? Do you remember that? The life-saving station that over the years turned to a members-only country club. May it never be that we here as Trinity Lutheran Church forget our calling as a life-saving station. May we resist every temptation to make this congregation a members-only club. Dear Lord Jesus, you who have come to seek and save those who were lost, give us a new resolve, give us a new joy, a joy in heaven and a joy in the presence of God's angels, as individuals and as a congregation, to be a part of your heavenly life-saving station. God grant it for Jesus' sake. In the name of Jesus, all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.